includes Brahms' string sextet in B-flat major, Golohov's Last Round featuring all nine musicians, and Mendelssohn's octet for strings in E-flat major. For more information, visit KranertCenter.com. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFTA's Board of Directors, Associate Station Manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Diane Gordon, Board President of CU ABLE, and she's here to talk about a community conversation on suicide prevention. But first, disability news for the week of September 24th, 2018. The nation's top special education official is setting a new agenda for the U.S. Department of Education as it works to address the needs of students with disabilities. A framework released last Thursday details a commitment from the Education Department's Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services to, quote, rethink anything and everything, end quote, in a quest to meet the office's mission to improve early childhood educational and employment outcomes and raise expectations for all people with disabilities, their families, their communities, and the nation. Specifically, the two-page document pledges to support states while ensuring flexibility and partnering with parents, individuals with disabilities, and other stakeholders. According to Johnny Collette, the Education Department's Assistant Secretary for Special Education and Rehabilitative Services, in a posting about the framework, quote, rethink means everyone questions everything to ensure nothing limits any student from being prepared for what comes next, end quote. At the heart of the department's new approach is a mindset favoring local decision-making over federal mandates, said Collette, a former high school special education teacher and state special education director. He wrote, quote, this commitment means acknowledging that states, school districts, and parents know the needs of their students better than we do. Our goal is to provide them with as much flexibility and support as possible so they can ensure their students' needs are being met. End quote. The Federal Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services, meanwhile, should act as a support system for states, the document indicates, ensuring that government policies and systems do not impede individuals with disabilities. Collette said, quote, this will require an unwavering commitment to address barriers that stand in the way of improving opportunities and outcomes for each person with a disability and to make needed changes at the federal, state, and local levels, end quote. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings is defending a segment featuring the word retarded that airs on the streaming service, saying that such language falls within the bounds of creative expression. Hastings' comments come in response to criticism of a comedy special titled Tom Segura, Disgraceful, which debuted earlier this year on Netflix. Harvard Law School professor Lawrence Tribe wrote to Hastings over the summer about the special, imploring Hastings to do something. Tribe wrote, quote, I cannot recall encountering anything more hateful or painful than the stigma Segura has weaponized in the name of comedy, end quote. In an email response to Tribe this month, however, Hastings justified the comedian's performance. Hastings wrote, quote, our view is that even though many find Tom Segura's comments hurtful, in this instance, they fall within the bounds of creative expression as part of a stand-up comedy performance, end quote. Certain portions of the quote continues, certain portions of any creative work, including stand-up comedy, can and do offend and are intended to evoke a range of responses. As an on-demand service, no one has to watch any particular show on Netflix. We offer a wide range of perspectives and voices on our service and work hard to provide context and tools to give our members a higher degree of choice and control over what they and their families watch, end quote. At present, the Segura comedy special, complete with the questionable portion, remains available on Netflix. In his email, Hastings indicated that Netflix reached out to Special Olympics and other groups, quote, to build a dialogue around the concerns they've raised and hope to continue that discussion. Special Olympics confirmed that representatives of the group met with Segura in June, and they said in a statement, quote, despite our appeal and Mr. Segura's expressions of support, he and Netflix have refused to remove this offensive piece of his routine. While freedom of speech is a right we all cherish, promoting or condoning speech that degrades and dehumanizes people with intellectual disabilities is wrong, end quote. For his part, Tribe said he was unsatisfied by Hastings' reply. Tribe said, quote, I do believe that media entities like Netflix have a higher moral, if not even legal, obligation to consider the psychic and cultural consequences of their choices than the one Reed Hastings accepts in his invocation of creative expression, end quote. And finally, fast food chain Wendy's is investigating the termination of an employee with autism whose family was told he was making guests uncomfortable. David Rain III, 18, of Jacksonville, Illinois, has been diagnosed as having Asperger's syndrome, a condition on the higher functioning end of the autism spectrum. He began working at Wendy's in May. Wendy's was an employer identified as being friendly and understanding toward those with disabilities, said David Rain III's father, David Rain Jr., but David Rain III was fired last week. When David Rain Jr. spoke with a member of the store's management about why his son was fired, he was taken aback by the answer, he said. He said, quote, you fired my son. You guys are supposed to work with people like that. She said, well, we have two others, but he makes our guests uncomfortable. That set off a real anger to me. It was the wrong thing to say. Rain III said he enjoyed his job, and aside from a small issue here and there, he got along well with his coworkers. When he was fired, he was told his performance was lacking, he said. Rain said, quote, they basically said I wasn't doing that well, end quote. His dad said he got an entirely different story. Quote, some of the things that make some of our guests uncomfortable are things that someone with Asperger's might do. Erratic movements, maybe they saw that. They said something about him pacing. That's Asperger's. He's a good kid. He's just different, end quote. Royce Simpson, divisional vice president for Patman LLC, the owner and operator of the Wendy's location, said, quote, all of our team members are very important to us. We are investigating this matter, and we will take appropriate actions, end quote. The Illinois Human Rights Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act prevent Illinois employers from terminating an individual because of his or her disability. David Rain Jr. said he hasn't pursued litigation with Wendy's, but also hasn't dismissed the possibility. Even if Wendy's offered his son back his job, his father would not allow him to go back to work there, he said. What he hopes happens now is that Wendy's does its part to educate its workforce and ensure that something like this doesn't happen to others. David Rain Jr. said, quote, to me, they need to be educated and the customers need to be educated so they understand. I told them, did you ever talk to the customers and explain what's going on? Explain to them who this guy is and what his condition is? How can you help him if you don't even understand yourself? And that's the news for this week.
If there's a question bothering your brain that you think you know how to explain, you need a test. Yeah, think up a test. If it's possible to prove it wrong, you're going to want to know before too long. You'll need a test. If
Somebody says they figured it out, and they're leaving any room for doubt. Come up with a test. Yeah, you need a test. Are you sure that that thing is true? Or did someone just tell it to you? Come up with a test.
And you are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today in the studio by Diane Gordon. We've tried for 2 weeks now to get Diane here, and she is finally here. Diane is the chair of the president of CU Able, which is a parent group here in Champaign-Urbana that she'll talk to you about, and lots of other stuff too. So Diane, why don't we start with, who are you? Introduce yourself to the listeners.
Well, first, Vicki, thank you so much for having us here, or having me here. As you mentioned, my name is Diane Gordon. I'm the president of CU Able, and that is an organization in town. It's a parent organization for parents with children with disabilities. The children can be from 0 to 18, 25. We do a couple of different things throughout the year. We have monthly parent meetings. We have quarterly education meetings on like IEP writing and a variety of different things like that. We do family events. It's just a group of people and parents who kind of get what other parents are going through and provide some support.
Parents supporting each other. It's one of the most critical things out there for younger families, especially.
Yes.
So, and you are the president of the group. And what's your attachment to this group? What is your connection?
Sure. So I have a daughter who is 6 years old. She is amazing. And she came to us through the foster system and had some trauma that came along with that and some disabilities that came along with that. She had some developmental delays, gross motor skills and things like that. And we've been, you know, advocating for her since she came into our care and continue to advocate for her. So kind of stepping into that whole world as a foster parent and then adopting this beautiful young lady.
So were you a part of the original group that started CU Able? Because they haven't been around that long, really.
No. Yes, Meredith Barnes and Amy Slagle and Michelle Mongelsmai and I developed the group, I want to say it was 2014, mm-hmm. So 4 years ago. And basically, a couple of us had kids who had kind of rare conditions and didn't know where to reach out for support. And somehow one of the OTs in town, one of the occupational therapists in town, got us together and said, hey, you guys need to form a group because you're not the only parents out there looking for support.
That's right. I mean, we've got a Down syndrome parent support group. We've got an autism parent support group. And people need a place to go and have a place to ask questions and have a voice. So awesome. So you're having an event.
We are.
On Friday. Tell me about that.
So the event on Friday is a community conversation about suicide prevention. And one of the reasons that we're doing that is a lot of our kids with disabilities, a lot of kids with disabilities have interactions with other kids, which are kind of negative. They can be the targets of bullying a lot. They can have self-esteem issues just based on, you know, learning difficulties in school or just being, you know, kids who are different. And so they are more likely to have suicidal ideations and suicidal attempts than the average child out there.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to open up the conversation with parents and community members on how we can notice the signs that a child might be having suicidal ideations, some of the things that we can do to help that child and provide hope for the child and for the families. And so that's where our conversation is going to begin.
So what are some of the markers that, maybe you want to tell a little bit about your speaker and then go into, you know, some of the signs and signals.
Sure. And I'm not sure I'm the best person for that, but let's talk about our speaker first. Our speaker is going to be Mike Bushman, and he is from the Chicagoland area. And I have actually known Mike for a long time, mm-hmm. back when we were teenagers. And I had no idea that he had suicidal thoughts and had attempted suicide. And he has since pulled his life out of that darkness, and he has made himself quite successful. He's written a couple of books about his experience, and he's very tied with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and he goes around talking throughout the country about suicide prevention. And so we were really fortunate that he's coming down to do an event in Southern Illinois and is going to stop by and have a conversation with people here in Champaign-Urbana.
Yeah. So time, place, and all that, and then we'll get into more of the details, and then we can finish with the time and place again.
Okay.
So that people have that information as we finish today.
Absolutely. So it is going to be from 6 to 8 o'clock this coming Friday, and we will be at the First Christian Church out on Staley and Curtis Road, and we're going to have some pizza at 5:30 and then get to talking around 6 o'clock and plan to be there from like 6 to 8 o'clock. Mike will do a short presentation about, you know, his experiences and then open up the conversation to people in the community.
Yeah, so this is not just you go and get talked at for two hours.
No, absolutely not.
What's the plan for the conversation?
Well, I think the idea is that, and I've not been to one of his presentations, but the idea is that he'll talk about his experiences and then try and draw out of other people, you know, things that they have seen and things that they can watch for. And once people start talking, I suspect that some people there will have had children who may have attempted suicide, and probably parents who are concerned that their kids, you know, may be thinking that way. So it's just a way to open up the conversation, kind of erase some of the stigma around mental health disorders and depression, and see what we can do to start helping people and give them hope.
I see that as one of the huge issues around depression and, suicide ideations, you know, that kind of thing, is that people don't want to talk about it. They don't want to identify themselves as being in that category, and they certainly don't want to identify their children being in that category. So what are some of the things that might be recommended for a family member who suspects that their child might be seriously considering suicide?
I think the first thing is to be able to open up that conversation with that child, and I'm hoping that Mike is going to give us some suggestions on how to get that done. And I'm sure other people have had more experience at this than I have. But getting that child to open up a little bit and to build that trust. If you don't have the trust with the child, they're never going to talk to you about the situation. So opening up that conversation, building that trust, and finding a game plan to, if it's get counseling, if it's having them, you know, connect with somebody else that they can just talk to as a mentor, and just get them, you know, realizing that there are other things that they can do other than end their lives.
Yeah.
But they are valuable and they have wonderful futures, and we just need to help them find those.
Yeah. One thing that I think we fear is that there are those families out there who have lost children.
Yes.
To suicide.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't think anybody places blame on those family members for that happening. But I think also they could be a pretty good resource to all the rest of us. Don't you believe that?
I do believe that, because they may be able to look back and say, you know, this was something I missed as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And please pay attention with your own children to these particular, you know, signs. And so, yeah, I think that's a very valuable resource that we can all look to.
Right. So it seems to me like almost everybody at some point in their lives experiences thoughts of suicide, just, you know, maybe even just toying with the idea, as opposed to somebody who is truly serious and making plans to do that. Is there going to be conversation about how you tell the difference, or even is there a difference? You know, I just don't know.
I don't know. That's a really great question, Vicki, and I don't have any answer for that. I hope that our speaker will have some answers for us. The teen years are so hard no matter what, right? There's so much going on. There's the hormones and the other kids pushing and the you know, possible bullying and just the living up to the expectations. And there's so much going on in those little minds or big minds. And how do we help them sort out those feelings and realize what they have?
So it sounds to me as if this this meeting, community conversation, mm-hmm. is intended to be much larger than just people from the disability community itself.
Yes. And in fact, I think I mentioned that it is co-sponsored by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, mm-hmm. and they're going to have a presence there as well, outside of just Mike, but there'll be a presence of students from the U of I who are part of that program, and helping us all, you know, talk a little bit more about what's going on.
Yeah, so that sounds like it could be really, really yeah. interesting.
I hope so.
Hopefully Friday night won't deter people from showing up, but you know that.
Yeah, we were a little worried about that, but I hope that it's an important enough topic that people will come out.
Yeah.
Join us.
So other things that CU ABLE has got on the docket right now, what are some other things that you've got in the works?
So we have a couple of more fun things going on as well. On October 6th, we're going to have a visit to the Negengard Pumpkin Patch. So that's mostly for the littler kids. Mm-hmm. And we'll just have kind of a meet and greet out there where people can get some pictures taken and get some pumpkins and have some snacks and head on back to whatever's next for them. On November 3rd, I'm kind of excited about this. My daughter has made it her goal this year to visit every fire station in Champaign County. So somebody put me in touch with the Fire Service Institute, and we are going to do a tour of the Fire Service Institute training grounds on November 3rd in the morning.
Ooh.
So I know, it's pretty exciting, and that is for all ages. It's not just for kids. It is from 0 to people my age.
But that idea came from your daughter, so that's pretty exciting. Yep, so absolutely. She's got a thing for firemen, right?
She does. Careful. But yes, she's fascinated by the whole fire concept and fire trucks and everything else like that.
Yeah. So for those folks who are out there listening who maybe have a family member and think they might be interested in getting involved with CU ABLE, what are the things that they need to know?
So there are a couple of different ways to connect with us. One is we've got a Facebook page. We've got a website, which is just www.cuable.org. And that has a listing of all of our events. So if you're interested in finding out what else we're doing, that's a great place to look it up and sign up for events. We have a Facebook group, which is a closed group. It is CU ABLE, so you can just Facebook groups/CU ABLE, and you can ask for to become a member of that group.
Mm-hmm.
And or if you know somebody in the group, we certainly can invite you. So if you know me, let me know. We'd be happy to have everybody join that Facebook group. The Facebook group is kind of our mainstay. It is professionals, family members, people of all different walks of life that are just basically resources and support for each other. It's a very active group.
Yeah, so, and you meet monthly when?
We have a monthly face-to-face meeting the third Thursday of each month from 6:30 to 8 at the YMCA, the Stevens Family YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually 5 to 10 people that get together and just kind of talk about what's going on at, you know, lift each other up and support each other and make somebody help do some problem solving with each other on how to take next steps.
Support groups have certainly taken a change over the last 25 years or so in that, you know, so many people don't access those live meetings. They'd rather search for information online or email somebody, or you know, and sometimes it can be really hard to get out of your house to attend a meeting,
especially with kids who have special needs. I mean, it's hard to find babysitters and childcare. It's hard when you have a few minutes to get away. You might want to get away just by yourself. So
absolutely,
yeah, it is hard to get out and do that live face-to-face, but I think it's very valuable as well. It's kind of affirming that you're not out there alone.
So I think face-to-face conversation is so much more helpful than an email back and forth, because it's not timely enough. You know, you when you get information, you have questions about it immediately, and maybe you don't always get exactly what you need from that. So I encourage people to get connected with CU ABLE or the CU Autism Network, who I think they're still kind of going. They lost their funding for a while. I'm not sure where they are right now, but I should probably have those folks back on the show sometime.
Yes, they have kind of risen back up, and they've got a really active group going. And I think that you would enjoy a conversation with the Julie and Julie are the two kind of women in charge. Of
okay, it. So, Julie and Julie.
Yeah, so I think awesome. You would enjoy a conversation with them.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go through the details of the Friday event one more time, and okay. I'll just make sure that everybody gets the information that they need on that.
Okay. So it is Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. at the First Christian Church on Staley and Curtis Road. And we're going to gather at 5:30 and have some pizza and then start talking around 6 o'clock. Mike will start his presentation. And if you'd like to come to the event, please register at our website, which is cuable.org, so that we know how much pizza to buy, because that's, you know, the important thing to get started.
That is the most important thing, is to have enough pizza for everybody.
That's right.
And so there's no charge for the event, and everybody is welcome. So I know Diane is encouraging you to sign up and go and start this conversation that's so important for the Champaign-Urbana community. So thank you very much for being here, Diane, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you for having us, Vicki.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/publicaffairs/disabilitybeat. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week.
Pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand.
WEFT is supported in part by Kevin Elliott Counseling. Elliott Counseling Group has 35 counselors providing mental health services for individuals, families, couples, children, and groups. Evening and weekend appointments are often available immediately. Virtually all insurance, including State of Illinois employee insurance, is accepted, and there is also a self-pay sliding scale. Kevin Elliott or his staff can be reached at 398-9066 or ELLIOTTCounselingGroup.com.
And you are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Before we get on to the next program, I have the Art Theater listings for this week. Screening Daily is The Wife, a film that examines 40 years of give and take and give some more between literary lion Joe Castleman and the person who knows him best, supports him steadfastly, resents him deeply, and possibly loves him anyway, his wife Joan, played by Glenn Close. Celebrate Art House Theater Day, September 23rd. That was yesterday? Okay, so that one is all done. I'm not even going to read that part. Rush tickets will be available for the Tuesday night screening of Summer 1993. Following the death of her parents, 6-year-old Frida moves from Barcelona to the Catalan province to live with her aunt and uncle, who are her new legal guardians. The film is a memorable look at our desire to connect and belong, and the unexpected ways in which families can reshape and grow. For up-to-date dates and times, please visit the www.theartheater.org. And now here is today's episode of Rootstock Radio, and stay tuned after that for In the Know with your host, Sherry Williamson.